WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. Jimmy Kimmel has returned to the ABC airwaves, coming back after a suspension over his remarks related to the death of conservative activist Charlie Kirk. Nino Podman was in the audience.
It was a little bit more emotional than I expected, actually. And he really, really just talked about his experience. And I think that was really, really cool and really great because he was near to tears.
Kimmel said he wasn't trying to make light of the tragedy or to blame any specific group for it.
For those who think I did point a finger, I get why you're upset. If the situation was reversed, there's a good chance I'd have felt the same way.
He also mocked President Trump for helping to boost his audience.
He tried, did his best to cancel me. Instead, he forced millions of people to watch the show. That backfired bigly. He might have to release the Epstein files to distract us from this now.
The show was not carried by the 30% of ABC stations owned by Sinclair Broadcast Group or Nexstar Media. President Trump met with leaders of Arab nations in New York Tuesday for the UN General Assembly.
This is going to be a very important meeting. It's going to be a meeting with great leaders from a very important part of our planet, the Middle East. And we want to end the war in Gaza. We're going to end it. We're going to end it. Maybe we can end it right now.
The Secret Service disrupted a telecommunications threat that could have affected the UN events. CBS News national security correspondent Nicole Skanga reports the plot could have disabled cell phone towers and led to electronic attacks.
Secret Service discovered a SIM farm, basically a network so powerful it could text 30 million people in a minute, the entire country in just 12 minutes. Roughly 300 servers across more than five different sites, and more than 100,000 SIM cards hidden in these abandoned apartments throughout the New York area. That's enough computing power on all of them to potentially overwhelm and shut down New York City's entire cellular network.
The camp in Texas, where dozens of people were killed over the summer in flooding, says it will reopen. CBS's Matt Piper.
Camp Mystic in Texas Hill Country shared its plans to reopen in a letter to parents. The letter says the camp will reopen part of its grounds to campers next summer. Specifically, it's Camp Mystic Cypress Lake area, where there were no deaths or injuries.
Camp officials plan to put up a memorial in honor of the 25 children and two counselors who died. There's a deadly typhoon sweeping through Asia, Ragasa now battering Hong Kong and southern China after killing at least 18 in the Philippines and Taiwan. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 97.5 WFHR.
A new pitcher for the crew.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball.
A new starting pitcher tonight for Milwaukee when the Brewers face the Padres in San Diego. He's 30-year-old left-hander Bruce Zimmerman, called up over the weekend to take the place of Brandon Woodruff, now on IL with a strained lat. The Brewers losing last night to the Padres 5-4 in 11 innings. San Diego clinched their spot in the postseason for a fourth time in the last 6 years. NFL. The Packers had a field goal blocked Sunday that could have been a game winner against the Browns. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur.
The unfortunate thing about special teams in general is when there is a mistake, there are catastrophic mistakes. I would say most of the emphasis typically when you're just talking across the league is placed on punt. Bottom line with us, I think it comes down to just being disciplined and trusting your technique.
That's Matt LaFleur with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 97.5 WFHR.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly cloudy skies here in the overnight. Some patchy fog in spots. Temperatures dropping to the lower 50s. Light northeast winds. Any of that fog in the morning giving way to a mix of clouds and sunshine. Northeast winds. Highs near 70 degrees. It's 57 at our studios.
Todd Alba.
Everybody, there is a government shutdown on the horizon. Haven't talked about it much, but we will next time with Pat Kreitlow on Mornings of Pat Kreitlow and Trigby Olson of the Lincoln Project. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
This is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. Have you ever found yourself asking,
what's a recipe for cookies my kids will love?
How do I avoid giving my guests food poisoning?
How would a restaurant chef prepare this meal?
If so, then tune into The Kitchen's Open, the show within the morning show each Monday morning at the start of the 10 o'clock hour. I'll tackle topics, teach techniques, or tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners. The Kitchen's Open, brought to you by The Hotel Mead. We'll tell you something good.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people, this is the Maggie Dawn Show.
I wouldn't get on this program with all of you fine folks every day and talk about how to do that through voting and through speaking out. I'm here with you every day.
Get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
What are you doing as an elected official? You have no business in an elected office.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.
Thank you for having me.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth. Here is Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody, and happy... Geez, is it just Tuesday? Tuesday afternoon. Welcome. Welcome one and all. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, that beautiful chuckle and laugh that you heard is none other than former U.S. Attorney James Santel. He's going to be joining me for the first hour of the show. We're going to talk about the fact that the Department of Justice... and I would argue nearly every federal agency no longer work for the American people.
Do not.
That the interests, right, of the American people have been subsumed very explicitly by whatever Donald Trump's interest is. Louis XIV, famously, though it's not, no historian's ever been able to document that he actually said this, used to say, en français, L'État, c'est moi. It means I am the state. That we have lost any distinction between Donald Trump, the individual, the politician with personal, political power and financial interests, any distinction between that individual and the interests of the U.S. citizen, of Americans writ large. We're going to talk about that in detail with Jim and each and every one of you, including what looks like a decision from the Supreme Court shadow docket yesterday that will decimate, perhaps permanently, the independence of federal agencies, even though Congress mandated that. Not all federal agencies, certain of them, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the fact that when it comes to the Department of Justice, you either have to, you know, get busy suing Donald Trump's personal political enemies, or you will be out of a job. That's gone down. And on the flip side of the coin, you know, there's a little saying that I've heard from the younger generation, champagne for my real friends and real pain for my sham friends. That is Donald Trump's DOJ. So real pain for his sham friends, those U.S. attorneys that won't do his bidding to investigate and prosecute his political enemies, but champagne for his real friends like Tom Homan, literally getting a bag of money. Apparently there's footage or audio of this, but the investigation is being shut down. I don't know. We're going to talk about all of that, but let's get to some breaking news before we dive into all of that substance this afternoon. Congressional Representative Tom Tiffany, well, it's official. He is in the gubernatorial race for the state mansion here in the state of Wisconsin in 2026. Good old Tom Tiffany. his lips have been firmly attached to Donald Trump's butt, well, but for, I don't know, since 2016-ish, which makes what went down in the Oval Office yesterday a wee bit uncomfortable for Mr. Tiffany. Republican sources have told the Journal Sentinel that despite Tom showing up to bend the knee and kiss the ring of our would-be tin pot dictator, Trump declined to endorse Tiffany's run for governor. Why? Why, you may ask? Despite all of Tom Tiffany's groveling supplication and basically failure to fulfill his constitutional oath of office to actually be a check on this president, why did Donald Trump refuse to endorse him? Because Donald Trump's just worried about Donald Trump, of course. And in Tom Tiffany's run for the governor's office, he'll have to vacate the 7th District congressional seat. And that's all that Donald Trump actually cares about, is trying to, by hook or crook, maintain control of the House of Representatives. So that's going on. We're searching around for some of Representative Tiffany's sounds of his affection for our current president. I'm sure we'll find them, if not today, going forward into the future. Donald Trump today, also, if you haven't been aware of this, we have a government shutdown looming.
Yes.
And as part of that shutdown discussion, Democrats on the Hill have basically put a line in the sand about restoring funding to ensure that every American who is working and looking for work can nonetheless access health care through Medicaid, Medicare, also the ACA, and the subsidies that used to be there to ensure that health care remained affordable for a lot of folks that work on farms and in small businesses, all these kinds of folks. You know, people who rely on both Medicaid, Medicare, and as well as the ACA exchanges to get insurance. We have been talking about the fact that that is about to go kaboom on November 1st when the exchanges open up. And you're going to see more pain, frankly, more sickness, more death coming in 2026 because of the fact that Republicans find it more important to give billionaires and folks with their names on university buildings and endowments for libraries and that fly around on private jets, more important to give those people tax breaks than it is to ensure that every American, again, that are working folks,
basic
disabled folks,
right, Maggie?
Right, can get basic health care. Today, Donald Trump is saying in a Truth Social post that he will refuse to meet with Democrats to discuss their demands to try to restore funding so that American citizens can access basic health care, afford bankruptcies, and afford making the premiums for all of us that have private insurance through our private sector employers, make sure that our premiums don't explode because people are forced to receive only emergency health care through emergency departments, which drives up premiums and deductibles for everybody else that obtains insurance through their employers. So mark this moment. The government shutdown may happen because Donald Trump refuses to talk to Democrats about the very real catastrophe that will befall millions of Americans and tens of thousands of Wisconsinites because of the big, brutal bills, tax cuts for billionaires and people that don't need them, for whom those tax cuts will be nothing more than a rounding error. If you or someone you know cannot find themselves unable to access or afford insurance in the near term, there's only one man to blame, and his name is Donald Trump. Also, in breaking news, we've been talking about the Jimmy Kimmel return. That's going to be this evening on ABC. I just wanted to point this out. Sinclair Broadcasting, this very conservative, biased ABC affiliate ownership group alongside Tegna and Nexstar, put out a statement earlier today. This was about 30, 45 minutes ago, something in that ballpark, saying beginning Tuesday night, tonight, Sinclair will be preempting Jimmy Kimmel Live across our ABC affiliate stations and are replacing it with, quote, news program. News programming. I'm sure that'll be totally unbiased. This is an interesting post on X, given that back in 2020, Sinclair posted this. we support, quote, free speech in a marketplace of ideas and viewpoints, even if incredibly controversial, end quote. I guess they meant that in 2020, but they don't mean it now. Fascinating how quickly they flip-flop. And this, Wisconsin's own Rojo, as in Rojo has got to go, Wisconsin needs a lot less Ron Johnson, had some more stupid things to say about public health, reminiscent of the stupid things that he had to say about COVID-19. But let's not forget our president's stupidity when he made the announcement yesterday discouraging the use of Tylenol by pregnant women, despite the lack of any reliable peer-reviewed studies to support the allegations that that use by pregnant women may lead to autism. Let's see the president not even be able to pronounce acetaminophen.
It's not that difficult a word, right?
No.
Effective immediately, the FDA will be notifying physicians that the use of acetaminophen. Is that okay?
Which is you don't know, no. Sir? No, you don't know. By the way, folks, acetaminophen, spelled A-C-E-T-A-M-I-N-O-P-H-E-N, literally acetaminophen. It's about as phonetic of a spelling of a maybe kind of complicated pharmaceutical term that everyone sees on the bottles of generic Tylenol that everyone has bought for every year of their life as an adult on this planet. Anyways.
And it is one of those words, Maggie, that's in the public domain. We talk about that. It's one of those few pharmaceutical words that people know about when they're in CVS or Walgreens. They talk about that, right? One of the few. President doesn't know about it. And as you said, much more dangerous is this notion that we've got the medical doctor in chief now pontificating about this.
That knows nothing. Not to be outdone by our president's stupidity, here's Ron Johnson doubling down on his own stupidity. Cut six.
Let me just give you some facts. So we've all heard of VAERS, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. Well, the FDA has VAERS, the FDA Adverse Event Reporting System. So in 56 years of tracking Tylenol, there have been 39,540 deaths reported to VAERS. That's 706 per year. For ivermectin, you remember the one that they said was so dangerous? In 29 years reporting, 493 deaths, 17 a year. And of course, for the COVID injection, in over just 5 years, 38,742 deaths associated with the COVID injection. That's over 8,000 per year. Now, those are just the facts. I know VAERS and VAERS, it doesn't prove causation, but it should be causing physicians and federal health officials to ask the questions. And God bless President Trump and RFK Jr. for asking the questions and starting to use their positions, their platform, to give parents informed consent.
Okay, I can barely even contain my seething, raging anger. Ron Johnson, I guess, is really this stupid, okay? The words were taken right out of my mouth by Dean Baker, the senior economist at the Center for Economic and Policy Research, when he said, can Ron Johnson really be this stupid? Hundreds of millions of people take Tylenol every year. How many people in this country take ivermectin? Which is for horses. Very few. It's as if, and this is the analogist used by this economist, you know, very few people who die from Russian roulette. In the Ron Johnson world, that means Russian roulette is very safe. Again, comparing on absolute value numbers, the number of reported incidents related to Tylenol use as compared to ivermectin is a complete data irrelevancy. It is the ratio over the hundreds of millions that use Tylenol to the very relatively infinitesimally small number of bad events that accrue from that. Asking questions is now the code language for I embrace junk science and throw logic and statistics out of the window. Rojo got to go, but Jim Santel is here to stay. We dig into this week's big legal news. You're not going to want to miss any bit of it because independent federal agencies help protect you and your family's health. I'll be right back with Jim and each and every one of us here at Civic Media on the other side. Stay with us.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
Don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wfhr.com/contest-terms.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Girl, you have the face of medicine. Oh, girl, you have the face of medicine.
Welcome back. You know, if it was up to RFK, Rojo, and the brain trust that is Donald Trump, we'd all be pumping ivermectin, drinking bleach, and using sunlight to cure that COVID. It's too much. It's too much. Speaking of what is permitting this stupidity to replace the wisdom of actual medical science, actual good data analysis, all of the things that many of us learned about, you know, like the scientific method back in grade school, middle school.
People who know what they're talking about, right, Maggie? The experts out there, right?
Actual subject matter experts. Mm-hmm. All of that nonsense, though I make fun of it, is indicative of a through-the-looking-glass moment that we are now in this country. Jim Santel, the former U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Wisconsin, also host of Amicus, a law review on Saturdays across this network from 9 to 11, is with us to help us understand this. But I'm just going to give you all the punchline now, and then we're going to fill in how we got here. Here is the bottom line. Through the Supreme Court's shadow docket yesterday, they have basically ruled that Donald Trump can fire for any reason, no reason, simply to stock so-called independent federal agencies with people that are personally loyal to Donald Trump. By so doing, the Supreme Court has set the stage for basically ensuring that every federal agency, including those about which Congress specifically legislated and required their independence will no longer be independent. Every federal agency, apparently according to the Supreme Court shadow docket yesterday, is going to now turn into a political arm of the White House. And to be clear here, ladies and gentlemen, this is incredibly bad for small businesses. This is bad for regular people who can't pay millions of dollars to buy their own islands and filter their own air and water. It's bad for all of us, regular people. If a president can use federal agencies that are supposed to be serving the U.S. citizen and resident and turn them instead into political propaganda machines to support that president. If this appears or sounds shocking to you, I assure you, my friends, this is not hyperbole. This is the reality under the kangaroo court that is today's U.S. Supreme Court.
It's doing nothing short of changing the way that government works, Maggie, right? Right?
And in nearly every single case. So set this up for the listeners, Jim. What is this case? And it is, in fact, one of many, many cases relating to Donald Trump's attempted firing of folks without cause that have come before the court, meaning the Supreme Court. And virtually all of those have been held by this Supreme Court on its shadow docket without analysis, without authoring an opinion.
Without argument, without briefs.
Without argument, without briefs to support the president's ability to fire people, even though Congress required the president to have cause to fire these people. That's what's, to flesh this out for people. How did we get to this moment?
Absolutely. And that point cannot be overstated. As you said, Maggie, Congress establishes these independent agencies. Yes, this is kind of wonky. There are people who sit around the cabinet table in the White House, and then there are independent agencies that work on your behalf separate and apart from the executive. And those include things like the National Labor Relations Board, unions, labor in America, the Merit Systems Protection Board, very wonky again, that protects civil servants in America. We've got the Consumer Product Safety Commission, and this, of course, is the Federal Trade Commission, right? The agency that enforces consumer protection issues, antitrust laws, those kinds of things. Way back in the springtime, Donald Trump decides he's going to fire a couple of people. One of them is named Rebecca Kelly Slaughter, and her name is now attached to this shadow docket case. And he says, I've got the capacity to do it, the authority to do it. Turns out that, of course, she pushes back on this, and you've got the lower courts saying, no, 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 you cannot do that. That's said both by a district court and an appeals court, and goes up to the Supreme Court on the emergency docket. We got to have emergency action on this issue, Supreme Court. And as you said yesterday, the Supreme Court, contrary to the very commission by which the FTC is put together, contrary to the way in which Ms. Slaughter works as one of the commissioners there, one of five, says, go ahead and do just that. You can do just that, Mr. President. And as you say, it is significant for the FTC, hugely important for all Americans, but it has this consequence well beyond. It opens up this door to all these federal agencies not subject to presidential oversight and firing, and opens the possibility that they all could again be brought under this unitary executive theory. The president is responsible to and for everything, and changes the way that government works. It is horrifying. And again, it is done on the shadow docket. We've got no explanation. We do have, of course, we've got the dissent on this. And that is, of course, written by Elena Kagan. And she goes at it. And she says, what are you doing once again? If there's something, Maggie, if I can commend to your listeners, read the 2 or 3 page dissent from Elena Kagan. She is upset beyond words and goes on to say, of course, that the kind of thing that you're doing here, not only unconstitutional and illegal, she says, although the majority of justices are raring, her word, to overturn a precedent, which also guides this, for now it remains in effect.
Truly, truly shocking. We're going to come back to this topic. We are going to show you how Donald Trump effectively believes and has now the agreement of the Supreme Court to make everything that is happening in the federal government in service of his political, financial, and power ambitions. It ain't supposed to be this way. Don't go anywhere. We continue to dig in. Tom Homan, the bag man, allegedly, but no investigation for him. We discuss all of it and so much more right here next on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
You're listening to Locally Grown Radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
CBS News Brief. Jimmy Kimmel is back on ABC with a new show Tuesday night.
Was the energy? Electric. It's amazing.
Audience member Michael Schwartz. Kimmel said he didn't intend to make light of the Charlie Kirk tragedy and had some lighter moments.
If you're just joining us, we are preempting your regularly scheduled encore episode of Celebrity Family Feud to bring you this special report. I'm happy to be here tonight with you.
At the UN General Assembly, President Trump criticized efforts to fight climate change.
It's the greatest con job ever perpetrated on the world, in my opinion.
Major League Baseball has approved the automated ball/strike system for 2026. Human umpires will still call balls and strikes, but teams can challenge two calls per game. CBS Sports baseball writer Mike Exia.
Fans seem to like it. The league itself likes it. Players, if you can kind of get them to speak off the record, they'll tell you they kind of like it too, you know.
CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
A new pitcher for the crew.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, a new starting pitcher tonight for Milwaukee when the Brewers face the Padres in San Diego. He's 30-year-old left-hander Bruce Zimmerman, called up over the weekend to take the place of Brandon Woodruff, now on IL with a strained lat. The Brewers losing last night to the Padres 5-4 in 11 innings. San Diego clinched their spot in the postseason for a fourth time in the last 6 years. NFL, the Packers had a field goal block Sunday that could have been a game winner against the Browns. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur.
The unfortunate thing about special teams in general is when there is a mistake, there are catastrophic mistakes. I would say most of the emphasis typically when you're just talking across the league is placed on punt. Bottom line with us, I think it comes down to just being disciplined and trusting your technique.
That's Matt LaFleur with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Making movies seems like a pretty good gig. Believe it or not, there are people who whine and moan about it, according to wrestler-turned-actor David Bautista. He told GQ he is getting older and more choosy about projects and says, quote, I want to work with people I just love and respect because I love this business. I love filmmaking and the art, and if people don't want to be there, I don't want to be there with them. This was obviously before reviews for his new film, Afterburn, came out. If you're looking for something to rent that you might have forgotten about or never got around to seeing, check out a film that's climbing the HBO charts. 2011's The Sitter is more or less a remake of the Elizabeth Shue 80s comedy Adventures in Babysitting, albeit a more foul-mouthed and raunchy one. Jonah Hill and Sam Rockwell star in the film that critics say might be worth a revisit. If you're wondering why it was forgotten about, it could be because it received a 22% on Rotten Tomatoes, but it does have Sam Rockwell. It's worth checking out, as sometimes history is kind to comedies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly cloudy skies here in the overnight. Some patchy fog in spots. Temperatures dropping to the lower 50s. Light northeast winds. Any of that fog in the morning giving way to a mix of clouds and sunshine. Northeast winds. Highs near 70 degrees. It's 57 at our studios.
You wanted to be cool, which led you to smoking, which led to a pack a day. Then you met that special someone, which led to starting a life with them, which led to wanting to live longer, which led to quitting. Then you heard you may be at risk for lung cancer, which led you to getting a low-dose CT scan. If you smoked, get scanned. Talk to your doctor and learn more at savedbythescan.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when.
don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I like a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
We have our weekly homeroom segment on Wednesday mornings at 7:35. Tomorrow, our guest is the State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Jill Underley.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join our conversation this hour. I'm joined by former U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Wisconsin, James Santel. You all are welcome to join in this discussion. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. And you're not going to want to go anywhere at the top of the 5 o'clock hour. We'll have some more news for you. We'll have some of that Tom Tiffany sounds. We've got a couple that I'm going to play for you in just a moment here. And we're going to have State Senator Kel DeRoy's candidate for the Wisconsin governor's office joining us, as well as the word to win in the 5 o'clock hour for Civic Media's multi-state text to win green and gold contest. So you're not going to want to go anywhere all afternoon. Jim, let's get back to this topic. One of my favorite texters, our good friends, Mark from Sussex, has been texting me. He's a conservative gentleman. He's been texting me about this decision from the Supreme Court, saying, thank you, Supreme Court, for doing this. And here is the thing. And I want to talk about a couple of other elements that make this shadow docket ruling yesterday quite shocking. When we lose the independence of federal agencies, let's think about what the agency's functions are, right? If you're talking about the Securities and Exchange Commission, if you're talking about the Federal Trade Commission, if you're talking about the FCC, if you're talking about the National Labor Relations Board, all of these organizations, I should say agencies, basically are there, and I'm going to make a sweepingly broad and very oversimplified statement here, but they are there to protect the little guy from those that have immense wealth and power. Stay with me here, folks. I'll just take the Federal Reserve. They're trying to balance inflation and unemployment. That is their congressional mandate. Why? It's not because billionaires are going to end up in breadlines. It's because you will. That's why it's important for the Federal Reserve to remain independent. If you own a small business and inflation explodes, guess what? Walmart isn't closing. Your small business is. The same goes with stagflation. If we have the combination of burgeoning growing unemployment and growing inflation, I can go on and on. The Securities and Exchange Commission, they're not actually worried about if Jeff Bezos loses some money because somebody lies in a 10K filed with the SEC. The SEC is really worried about if you and your 401K are lied to and suffer the adverse financial implications of material misrepresentations in the publicly filed documents required by the SEC by publicly traded corporations. The EPA isn't worried about whether or not Elon Musk has clean air and water to drink, nor is the FDA worried about whether George Soros or Peter Thiel have safe meat and vegetables to eat. They're worried about you. And so if you rob all of these agencies of their independence, if you drive out all of the scientists that do objective research, all of the good data analysts, it's not the Peter Thiels or the George Soroses or the Elon Musks or the Donald Trumps that will suffer. It is you. And whether you voted for him and think he's the second coming of Jesus Christ or not, the consequences for regular Americans are not avoidable here. So with that, Jim, I just wanted to return and talk a little bit about some of these very specific elements of this shadow docket decision that I think make it so, so shocking. I'm going to begin with this. These requests for intervention to stay lower court's orders that go up to the Supreme Court in the shadow docket, which require the Supreme Court to effectively render a decision that may alter the status of the parties in that case and have wide-reaching implications. First of all, it's important for people to know that the Supreme Court reaches those decisions without full argument or briefing by the parties.
Which most often takes months, right, Maggie?
Months.
We're a couple of weeks from now, we're going to have a new term of the Supreme Court. You're going to see arguments for hours on end. That follows briefs being written, and they're going to be thinking about these decisions for a long period of time. None of that here. Within days after the Solicitor General, a guy named John Sauer, goes to the Supreme Court and says, emergency, emergency, overturn what lower courts, typically two lower courts, a district court and appellate court, have done. Do it right now. And within hours, days later, the Supreme Court, without more than a mention of what the case may be about, as is the case yesterday, says, sure, we're going to give the president what he wants to have here, and changes the dynamic, as you said, of these agencies for a long period of time, if not indefinitely. That's the problem with all of this.
And yesterday, one of the things that's so interesting to consider, the extraordinariness of what the Supreme Court is doing, not only did the Supreme Court throw out 90 years of precedent, this is this case, you'll hear Wonks talk about it, it's Humphrey's executor. You don't need to remember the name of the case, but the case stood for the principle that when Congress says that you have to have cause to fire people from certain positions, they actually meant it, and that's what the balance of powers and co-equal branches of government mean.
And Humphrey's executor, right? Was actually about the Federal Trade Commission. We're not
about
another agency.
Very agency.
It was this very agency, the same kind of thing 90 years ago. It's been precedent ever since that time. And again, Elena Kagan says, what are we doing here? You're basically acting illegally, is what she says in her dissent, by not only going against that precedent, but doing something that Congress, once again, prohibited as a part of its commission of the FTC.
But here are these, and here's what is, the Supreme Court is the activist court, the conservative wing of the Supreme Court is now the activist court that conservatives derided for 25 years. Here's why. Generally speaking, stays that come up to the Supreme Court on the shadow docket are generally brought by the party where the status quo is changing, okay? The status quo here is that cause is required and the person stays in the job. The Supreme Court in this and all of the other cases where Donald Trump flouted Congress's authority and the constitutional balance of powers and decided to fire someone without cause, all of these cases where the Supreme Court greenlights that, removes an acting commissioner or other federal agency official without that cause. So it's not only going against precedent, it's upsetting the status quo, which used to be verboten. Basically, it was not the purpose of the shadow docket, which dates back to death penalty cases. To wit, you stay the execution because the alternative would be that the person dies.
Right. You can't get that one wrong. You can't get that one wrong.
Right.
Right.
And here they're totally unconcerned with that. The second thing is that they have now granted certiorari before judgment was rendered on the merits in the lower court. So the typical order of business is trial court reviews. There's either jury verdict or decision rendered by the trial court. Then they appeal to the federal appeals court. The appeals court renders its judgment. Then that is finally appealed to the Supreme Court. Here, that entire process has been bypassed. So not only are they acting against 90 years of precedent, not only are they subverting the status quo. Not only are they stripping Congress's authority away from it in contravention of the constitutional order established by our founding fathers, they're doing it on an expedited basis, which is completely unnecessary and unrequired here. It is truly, truly shocking.
And Maggie, if I can also note that in the very, very skeletal statement coming from the Chief Justice who did this yesterday, he also identifies what the questions are that they're going to ask. And I think he's signaling very clearly, horrifically, what is on the minds of the Supreme Court. He says the questions we're going to talk about when we review this, not only Humphrey's executor, but the entire issue, is whether the removal protections for members of the Federal Trade Commission violate the separation of powers. And oh, by the way, whether a federal court can prevent a person's removal from public office through relief, equity, or law. Those are questions that are loaded, and they are plainly envisioning not a balanced review of this whenever this comes up, but we are basically anticipating overturning, again, 90 years of precedent, and more importantly, as you have said so compellingly, changing the way that government works, changing the very thing that not just the FTC does, but the ways in which our Constitution contemplates separation of powers cannot be overstated.
And here's what Kagan says on this. The president may thereby extinguish the agency's bipartisanship and independence, quote unquote. And she concludes, our emergency docket, the shadow docket, should never be used, as it has been this year, to permit what our own Supreme Court precedent bars. She is saying the very points that Jim and I just discussed with each and every one of you. Jim, we got one of our favorite conservatives on the line. I'm sure he vigorously dissents, to use the language of the Supreme Court. Welcome, CJ. Say hi to Jim. What you got for us?
Hey, CJ.
Hi, Mr. Cannoli and Maggie. I'm representing Donald defending it. So because I serve at the pleasure of the president. I want to say, you know, you didn't have a problem when the Biden administration went back three times with student debt.
Okay, hang on, CJ. I'll let you finish. But the difference here, okay, is that each time the Biden administration attempted a different loan forgiveness plan, it was on different legal bases. It did not contravene or contradict, either directly or indirectly, any prior precedent of the Supreme Court. Please continue, my friend.
Well, I think it comes down to a lot of merit and performance, because the Bureau of Labor and Statistics made a 911,000 job creation error that weren't created and has something to do with performance. But did you see the president kicking ass at the UN today? Wow.
So CJ, we're talking about awesome. We're talking about the Supreme J, and BLS employment numbers are always revised since Donald Trump replaced the head. Excuse me. I am responding to what your comments were, and before you started to divert into it, not what we're talking about. The BLS guy that Donald Trump handpicked after firing the last head of statistics at the BLS actually produced jobs numbers that were worse, much, much worse than what the woman he fired produced. So that's off topic. Here's the difference here, CJ. You talked about I serve at the pleasure of the president. That's for cabinet officials and other minor appointees. That's not what we're talking about here. This is under completely different statutory authority that was Congress's to make. And to be clear here, CJ, in this very case, in the Slaughter case, the government admits that the president has not offered any cause basis for the termination, and that he should be able to do that despite the fact that Congress required the firing to be for cause. That's the problem here.
Well, can I say, your party said Secretary Mayorkas did a great job.
Again, off point and backwards looking, we're looking at this administration. Stay tuned, folks. We talk about the Bagman Homan on the other side. You're listening to me, Jim, and CJ sometimes here on the Civic Media Radio.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons, like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
We want to thank our listeners for following the Rapid Support over to the podcast world. Your growing support for the show and your favorite guests, area nonprofits, is greatly appreciated.
We love getting the word out about the great things nonprofits do for the community. Special thanks to Crockett Septic for sponsoring this show as they continue to help us bring you great conversations.
Listen to the Rapid Support at WFHR.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are unauthorized immigrants eligible for federal Medicaid coverage? No. Unauthorized immigrants are not eligible for traditional federally funded Medicaid health insurance and never have been. A 1996 law also requires most authorized immigrants to wait 5 years for eligibility. 14 states, not including Wisconsin, use state funds to cover unauthorized immigrants. President Trump has proposed cutting federal Medicaid funds to those states, which could drop 1.4 million people from health care coverage. In Wisconsin, Medicaid covers 1.28 million people at a cost of $12.1 billion. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. We got former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel with us. He hosts Amicus every Saturday morning from 9 to 11. You got questions. Jim's got answers. Every week is just chock full of legal news. Some of it technical. We hope to always break it down. But if I don't have time to get to all the details, you know Jim well on the weekends. Check it out. I always put an earbud in and give it a listen while I'm doing my weekend chores. And coming up next, do not forget, we got State Senator Kelda Royce. She's now a gubernatorial candidate here in Wisconsin for 2026. We'll talk to Kelda. Did you know she and I went to law school together? That'll be a fun chit-chat. And, of course, we've got our text to win. Go for the green and gold multi-state contest coming up. I'm going to drop the word of the hour in our next segment. I'm also going to hold our discussion of the bag man Homan for 5:30. I'm going to get into that in greater detail at that point, but I wanted to talk, Jim, with you about what has gone on in the basically the last 5 days, including the weekend, in the Eastern District of Virginia. There was a U.S. attorney there that I believe was Donald Trump's pick. He basically fired him. Tell us what went down and why this is so deeply concerning.
Right. This is the former U.S. attorney now. His name is Eric Siebert. He was not only the president's pick, but also had some very strong ties to the administration. A fellow named Emile Beauvais, who's now on the Third Circuit, is a close friend of hers. This fellow is not on the fringes. He is right in the middle of the Republican Party, and there's nothing wrong with that. He is assigned, presumably by Maine Justice, maybe by the deputy attorney general, maybe the attorney general herself, wants to look at two people who are indeed on the president's adversary list, we'll call it that. One of them is Letitia James. Of course, she's the New York Attorney General, got that huge judgment against him. And also the FBI, former FBI director, James Comey. Lots and lots of history between those two. And again, as the chief federal law enforcement officer for the Eastern District of Wisconsin, of Virginia, rather, right across the Potomac from Washington, D.C., what he does is he says, okay, we'll investigate these things. He comes back, and late last week, he says, you know what? We have done a thorough investigation. There's no there there. There's nothing for us to indict here. No mortgage fraud, no other things that are untoward or illegal. And for that reason, we need to close the case, which is what the responsibility of a U.S. attorney is when they come to an end and they determine that the investigation does not show any criminal conduct. Donald Trump says, nope, that's not good. And again, depending upon who you believe, either Eric Siebert leaves, he's fired, doesn't matter, but he is out. And the president then says, okay, I'm going to appoint now. I've named a new person. Her name is Lindsay Halligan. She's been inside the Trump sphere, if you will, for a long period of time. For what it's worth, she handled insurance matters way back in Florida. President announced that she is now going to be the new U.S. attorney in Eastern Virginia. And presumably now she's going to walk in when she is confirmed, which she presumably will be, and presented with the same files that Mr. Siebert was presented with. The question will be, all right, Lindsay, what are you going to do with those files? To try to present those to the grand jury and get an indictment based upon no evidence? What is that about? What is that going to look like? The president describes her as a tough prosecutor, Maggie. She's never prosecuted a case in her life, and I think she's got some education coming in when she enters that office there and finds, in fact, you've got civil servants who are saying, we are not, like the former U.S. attorney, we are not going to go. We are not going to go in front of a grand jury and present something, offer an indictment where there's no basis for it. And indeed, maybe, just maybe, as we've seen more and more, maybe the grand jury, if somehow that happens on some trumped up charges here, if the grand jury itself says, you know what? There's no there there. We're not going to indict. This is a fascinating story. It's a fascinating problem also because it underscores the complete breakdown of the wall between the White House and the Department of Justice. No president should be involved in this kind of thing. And it undermines the integrity of the work of the Department of Justice.
Yeah, it just simply does not exist anymore. Folks, let me summarize at a real high level what Jim just said. The Trump handpicked former U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia, who is a MAGA regime loyalist, who is a favorite amongst conservative circles, investigated Donald Trump's political enemies, including Adam Schiff, Letitia James, and others. He concluded that he could not proceed with a prosecution. Donald Trump pushed him out or fired him, and has now replaced him with a woman who has never prosecuted a single crime in her entire life, but is apparently more faithful and dutiful to the president's political prosecution goals than the prior guy was. And keep in mind, and I'm going to get to Homan at 5:30, they're doing this in Virginia while they're stopping the investigation of Tom Homan, who is allegedly caught either on videotape or audio tape in a sting with FBI agents taking a bag full of $50,000 cash money dollars to funnel contracts to made-up companies that these FBI agents created. In other words, it's a bribe. That investigation gets closed. But the investigation by a Trump MAGA regime loyalist, extremely conservative lawyer that found no means, no basis to proceed, that guy gets fired and replaced with the insurance lawyer who's never prosecuted a single case in her entire life. I ask you, does this sound like the weaponization of the DOJ to prosecute political enemies? It sure does, folks. If it quacks, has feathers, and walks like a duck, guess what? It's a duck. Jim, it is always such a pleasure. Thank you for being here.
Honored to be
with
you, as always, my friend.
I'll be listening on Saturday. We'll have Jim back real soon, folks. Stay tuned. I've got State Senator Cal DeRoy is discussing her run to be Wisconsin's next governor. That's coming up at 5 o'clock at the top of the hour, right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay with us.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. He's back. ABC's Jimmy Kimmel Live Show broadcast a brand new episode Tuesday night. Kimmel was emotional discussing the controversy that got him suspended.
It was never my intention to make light of the murder of a young man.
I don't think there's anything funny about it.
I posted a message on Instagram on the day he was killed, sending love to his family and asking for compassion. And I meant it. And I still do.
The show was not seen on the dozens of ABC affiliates owned by Sinclair Broadcast Group or Nexstar Media. On social media, President Trump threatened to sue ABC, writing, "Last time I went after them, they gave me $16 million. At the United Nations in New York, a meeting between President Trump and Arab leaders